evolutionary biologist with an obsession for paleogenomics and immune genetics. This is Federica. Wow, what a title. Well, with the COVID pandemic, we understand firsthand how epidemics have a huge impact on our lives. Federica's job could not be more relevant. Today, she's a postdoc in archaeogenetics in Leipzig. Do you want to know more? Then listen to the podcast. Federica, thank you very much for being on my podcast. You have a very interesting job. I'd like to start by asking you, what is your current position?
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for your interest and for having me in your great podcast. Let me say something before. I have to say that I had a look around before talking to you, and there are very, very interesting stories here. So I hope to be as good as well.
I'm sure you will be.
So about my current position, I'm now a postdoc in the Department of Archaeogenetics at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig. Mm-hmm. And I would define myself as an evolutionary biologist with an obsession with paleogenomics and more recently with immune genetics.
Wow. Yes. That's a big title right there.
Sounds interesting, right?
Yes, very interesting.
So a bit more about the job itself. The job that a paleogeneticist does is to reconstruct and analyze genomes which are obtained from historic or long-dead organisms. Myself, I specifically work with humans, and the DNA I study is generally extracted from human skeletal remains.
Okay.
And yeah, this type of DNA, the one which is extracted from bones, can provide us with a very large number of different information, spanning from the demographic history of ancient populations to the reconstruction of past adaptive process, for example.
Okay, and so that means that you do work closely with an archaeologist?
Yes, sure. So the first step of a new project, usually, it's actually really connected with the archaeologist because they are the one that know the best the material we are using in our research. So also this first step usually required the drafting of common research question with them, and they are always also involved in the interpretation of data.
Okay.
Yes.
I see. So then basically you are you studied as a biologist initially, and then you have taken it to become a paleogeneticist? Is that how it works?
Not really. It was a long path. I studied human biologist and with a focus on human evolution. The master was in human evolution, and mm-hmm. already from the bachelor degree and from the master, I knew I wanted to understand better and study ancient biomolecules, especially ancient DNA. And then I studied evolutionary biology with a focus on immune genetics. And then I came back to ancient DNA, actually. So that's how I basically try to join the different topic here.
Wow. And so the DNA can actually preserve itself over the millennia?
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
Actually, it really depends on the geographical context, and there are some geographical regions where the DNA can be preserved better, and this depends on the temperature, on the acidity of the ground, and of course it's not preserved as we see in a modern time, but it's degrading over time, the DNA. It does undergoes under degradation. And so when we analyze the DNA, we have to first actually reconstruct the short fragments that we are able to extract from the remains. Like mm-hmm. in a puzzle, we have to assemble the short fragments to get the actual genome sequence that we want. Yeah.
So can you do us make me like a small example of how to use the DNA experience that you got through with endemic or pandemic examples?
As I told you, there are many different questions that can be answered thanks to the ancient DNA. But in my case, I like to study the evolution of immune genes. And let's try to make it easy to understand better how we as human came to be what we are today from an immunological point of view. Why this might be important? With the COVID pandemic, we suddenly had the chance to understand how epidemics can have a huge impact on our life. And probably that was not so clear before the pandemic experience for many of us, I think.
I bet, yes, I'm sure.
However, humans have been exposed to a very large range of different pathogens during their evolutionary history. And we can imagine that infection disease and so epidemics were much more widespread and deadly in our past. And yes, yeah, so the exposure to such pathogen pressure over time can often leave specific signals in the DNA. And here comes the benefit of our tool as a paleogeneticist, because we can really use ancient DNA as a sort of time machine to go back in time and explore in real time changes in prevalence of specific immune variants, for instance. So I can maybe do a small example. We can search where and when in the past population those variants were present. And there are, in our field, there are some variants, genetic variants, that are known with the name of risk variant. And we know that they increase the risk of individuals to become sick. On the other side, there are protective variants, which instead afford the individual a better opportunity to fight a given infection and so to survive. And once we have such information, where and when those variants were present and in which population, we can try to connect this information with the past epidemic events. And they are actually also very well documented, especially thanks to historical records or to archaeogenetics as well. So what we basically try to do is to reconstruct the adaptation that happened in Europe, in humans, sorry, in response to epidemic events. And this is, I'm focusing now in epidemics that have been happening in Europe, for instance.
Like the plague.
Yes, exactly. Plague, but there were many more in our past, yes.
Epidemics, yeah. We forgot because we were not there, so
yes, exactly.
Yeah, we have a short memory, but apparently our DNA memory is very large, so it's very amazing to be able to. So basically you reconstruct from the past what can help for the future. So does it help also prevent future pandemics, like the work you're doing?
Yes, it would be amazing if we could help preventing a future pandemic, but for sure what we can do, learning, starting from the information that we have from our research, is to understand which genes are important for our immunity. And so this could help to develop some therapy, for instance, once we know the mechanism behind the immunity against specific infections.
Okay, so it's a very specific career that you chose for yourself. Now, what was the path that took you to this career?
Good, how I got here. So, being a scientist, it was not my dream job as a kid.
Okay.
yes, I have to be honest. And also as a teenager, I had different ideas in my mind for myself, completely unrelated to science. During high school, I studied tourism. Yes, mainly because I grew up in a city like Rome, and I thought, in Italy, I thought that with a background in tourism, it would have been easy to find a job. I also studied for a long time ballet, and I took a diploma in ballet, and I indeed have been teaching dance for a few years. But yeah, it was great. But as a matter of fact, when I finished high school, I wasn't very satisfied with my decision. And I didn't know what job I wanted to do in future. But I remember I was suddenly quite interested in scientific topics, mainly focusing on humankind. Okay. And yeah, so I thought that I maybe should change path. And I wanted to study at the beginning medicine. But as I didn't have any scientific background at that time, I just jumped into science, studying human biology at the University of Tor Vergata in Rome. And during the first year at the university, among the several courses I took, I followed the one about anthropology and molecular anthropology, and I completely fell in love with the topic. Yes, it was so, it became like an obsession, because also I remember that once at home after the class, I keep looking for information regarding human evolution, watching movies or documentaries, reading books. So I really, it was really a gut feeling, and I decided to follow with this path. So basically what I did, I just finished the human biology degree. And then I did a master in human evolution, and then I started traveling, because this is really important in this field. I applied and got a couple of fellowships to visit two important labs in Europe. One is the bioarchaeology lab at the University of York in England, and there I did my master thesis. And the year after, I went to Barcelona in the Paleogenomic Lab, where I did a period of work. And then I wanted to continue and obtain a doctorate, and which I did at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Biology in Germany. And I lived there for almost 5 years.
So you stayed in the lab, and now you have a full-time job in the lab. Or not?
No, because during my PhD, I actually started to study bioinformatics, which is really important in our field, I would say. So the previous experience in York, in England, and in Barcelona were both in the lab. Also during my internship in Tor Vergata, I had some experience in the wet lab. While during my PhD, the majority of the work was done in the so-called dry lab, which is analysis of data and using mainly bioinformatic tools. Yes, and this was true also for my postdoc in Paris at the Saclay University, and also now in Germany, where I'm doing the second postdoc, yes.
So basically there was a gap. Let's say you started working you studied tourism, mm-hmm. and then you were teaching dancing. And what exactly was the feeling that you were not satisfied? Like, what do you think was missing?
I don't know. I always liked human history, probably. And I was curious about human biology as well. I was curious. That was the point. I liked to study. And to teach dance was not enough, even if I love ballet.
Yes.
I when I have time, I keep following courses, different type, not only ballet. But I wouldn't like that to become my profession, I would say, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And tourism, it was important, I have to say, because we studied a lot of art and history, of course, during the high school, and so kind of feed my interest already towards humans.
But in scientific perspective.
Yes, and it was a challenge to jump into science somehow, because I didn't have the background, so I wanted to see if I could make it.
Yeah, and how old were you when you started studying the science?
It was gradual, I would say, and the interest started immediately after high school, so I was 19, but I was really diving into the topic when I was 23, so I took some time. I was hesitant at the beginning,
because
I thought it would be difficult to jump into this career without background.
Has it been difficult? Like,
it is,
you have
it
any
is.
Hard times?
Yes, my thoughts were right, but nevertheless, if I would go back in time, I would be less hesitant, because it's such a very interesting job that I would do this again and much faster, probably.
What do you find hard?
So, what is hard? I don't know, maybe, so at the beginning when I started studying these topics, I did just to feed my personal interest, but then it kind of became a job, right? So I start to feel the responsibility of being in a scientific community and to perform a much rigorous work, which sometimes work and sometimes doesn't work, and could be frustrating. So yes, this transition was difficult, and sometimes it is, but we can cope with that, I think. It's also exciting. It's part of the job. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You studied, you finished your studies. How did you get your first job? Was it through PhD in academia, or how did you get to Leipzig?
To Leipzig. So I have to say that the standard way to get a job in academia is just to apply, try to apply for a job position. And each time I got a new position, also the one in Leipzig, it went more or less in the same way. So I'm part of several mailing lists where there are advertisements for new job positions coming out in my field. Okay. So when it was time to search for a new job, I checked whether there was something that could be good for me. And if yes, I updated my curriculum, I wrote a cover letter, and I sent the application to the BI and read the research group. And in some cases, not all the time, I got an interview where I had to expose in a presentation the work I have done before. And often you have to expose also your future plans. So in some institute, the interview process could be also more challenging. You have to spend some time in the lab doing small project, for example.
Okay.
Also, there are other ways to find the first job, let's say. Sometimes you can write directly to PIs that you like, because maybe you know the lab, even if they have any, they don't have any advertisement on their web page. And so you can basically just express your interest in working with them. And I can suggest for young people, especially, that going to conferences and knowing the research group in person is very important. Because you start to do the so-called networking. And I know this could be very helpful to find position, yes.
No, perfect, yeah. It's really an important one. And so your, let's say, your typical workday, because I'm trying to also to see what are some skills, let's say soft skills, because we understand the hard skills are related to this job, but like in terms of soft skills, if you could say a little bit about your day, what it looks like, a typical work day, maybe also it will help the listeners understand if it's something for them or not. You know, like, are you indoors, are you in front of a computer all the time, are you sharing with your colleagues, is it a teamwork and all this? So yeah, please tell me.
So I usually start my day by answering email, so in front of the computer with a good cup of coffee, of course.
Italian
for
coffee.
Italian is very important. Yes, then it really depends on the day. There are usually meetings. We have meetings almost every day. So yes, you have, it's not an outdoor job for sure, but it's a job that you often do with others. So teamwork, it's very important. And during the meeting, we usually discuss different aspects of our work, for example, methodological issues or new interesting results, new methods, or sometimes we can even discuss papers that might be relevant for many of us in the group. When there are no meetings, what I mainly do, especially in this moment, is to use bioinformatics approach to analyze the ancient genome. My work comes in a late phase of the analysis. Maybe I can do a small introduction, because there is a previous part that can be done in the lab, and this can be done by lab technician or also other colleagues. And thanks to their work, with basically the bones are drilled. So what is done usually in the clean lab is to produce bone powder. And then thanks to a series of chemical steps, this basically there is the actual extraction and sequencing of the DNA. And so from the initial bone powder, we can get the DNA sequences that we find in the morning in our laptop, and we are ready to analyze them.
Yes. Wow, so after a nice barbecue and
exactly
grilling the bones.
Yeah, actually, the drilling phase is very delicate phase, and we try to avoid the damage of the and the bones. We're really interested in preserving the material, and usually a very small part is taken. So it's an important step. We are lucky, because then we wake up and we can analyze the data, and And there are some standard steps that we can do that are common in our analysis. So as I told you before, the ancient DNA, it's highly degraded. And this because after the death of the organism, the DNA undergoes degradation. So one of the first steps is to reassemble together the short fragments, like in a puzzle, and to reconstruct the full genome, for instance, or a specific genomic region that we are interested in, my case, the immune genes. Okay. And so then we have other softwares that allow us to basically exclude evidence of contamination. The contamination can come from the DNA of people handling the samples, for example. So we have to be sure that the DNA came from people from the past, basically. And there are specific methods to do that. And then when we have the complete sequence, what we do, we apply several statistical tests, mainly to verify our initial hypothesis. And this stage, it's really depending on the research question of each project. Yes, so it really changing each time, this part.
Awesome. It sounds fascinating. Mm-hmm. What lesson have you learned that others can benefit from?
Good question. So maybe, yeah, when you like your job, it can easily take some time away from your private life. And I'm not sure I completely learned the lesson, but I try my best to have a good work-life balance. Okay. And so the lesson is to pay attention to the amount of time you spend also with your family, friends, and doing things that you like apart from your job. And also, this means also paying attention to your mental health in general. Yeah, this is very important in this work.
And that means also that you love what you're doing, right? I mean, job-wise.
Yes, I really love what I'm doing, yes.
That's fantastic. Yes,
it's kind of a hobby, right? So it started like a hobby, but then it's not a hobby anymore. So you can basically spend all your time, all your day in front of a computer if you...
Yes,
you are obsessed with that, yes.
Yeah, and it seems to be also gaining more and more attention. I heard that there's been a Nobel Prize awarded to the director of the Leipzig lab.
Yes.
Can you tell me just a bit more about this?
Yes, I would say this is the year of paleogenomics. Yes, because Svante Paabo, the director, just got the Nobel Prize in physiology and medicine. And is considered to be the father of the paleogenomics because he's the pioneer of the ancient DNA studies. So it's a very big recognition for the field, but in general for the evolutionary biology field, I would say, which is not receiving often a good attention.
Okay. And so for someone who would like to enter this line of work, what would you suggest?
Yes, so what can I suggest is to, from an academic point of view, is to start with maybe with some specific course like genetics or biology to get a bachelor degree. And I would suggest to have also a background in bioinformatics, which is really, really important. That of course, depends on what you want to do. So it's a very big field and rapidly evolving also. So there are different ways in which you can enter the field. So if you are willing to be in the lab, maybe it's important to have some like internship or some more specific background in the biochemistry probably. But if you're willing to do more of the analysis, then bioinformatics, statistics, and yes, genetic in general, it's very important. Yeah, there is not only one way to enter this field. I also know colleagues, for instance, that have a background in archaeology, and they are extremely good as well in doing the analysis that we do. So, and there are also some that have a background in physics, for example, so it's not so strict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see a lot of complementarity with archaeology, that's for sure. Yeah. So you have now been a few years in this field, and do you know something that you didn't know then and you wish you had known about the job?
Oh, yes. Academia is very nice in general and very exciting, but it can be very hard sometimes. So being gentle with the others, it's really important and can be a plus.
Okay.
Yes. And it's really the case most of the time, I would say. Also, it's important to know that some projects can reach the end and they can be successful and good. This is very nice, but sometimes a project can fail and we should not take those failures too personally. It's better to spend time to understand why they did not work and try to avoid mistakes basically for the next time. So it's part of the game. Some projects can fail as well, yes.
And I see that the time is going by very quickly. So to finish, as a last question is to you, is like, what is the message you want to give to our listeners who would like to enter in this line of work? Anything that comes into your mind that you haven't shared yet?
So yes, maybe if they really feel that this is what they want to do, they shouldn't be hesitant to enter the field. And the two attitude that I would suggest to develop is the perseverance and curiosity. And so these are very important because this is a very multidisciplinary field and it's changing very fast. So you have to keep you updated to the new technology. So to have a perseverance and curiosity, it's really important. You have to study a lot as well. Yes, this is the main suggestion. And and one thing maybe that I didn't know when I was younger are the funding opportunity. Yes, this was very important to know because as young adult, I didn't have, at some point, I didn't have money to support my study further, especially abroad. And I didn't know there were many different possibilities in terms of fellowships. I really suggest younger people to search online for possibility on... apply. Don't be hesitant. Yes.
Yeah, very good advice. Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much, Federica. It's been very interesting to listen to you and your career path, and I wish you all the best for your future endeavors.
Thanks to you, Laura.
I'm always fascinated when I interview professionals like historians, archaeologists, and like Federica, experts in archaeogenetics, because they can help our future by analyzing and understanding our past. So if you have such a job, please reach out, as I'd love to interview you. Take care, till next time.